The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Welcome to Radio Today's weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dan with a report from the recent Drive to Digital Now conference. More than 100 people from the radio and motor industries came to the BBC Radio Theatre for a kind of pep rally to launch the digital tick mark, to discuss how to get digital radio into the 30 million cars which don't yet have it fitted, and to listen to pitches from the two contenders for the new D2 multiplex. Broadcasting Minister Ed Vasey was there too. And in fact, there was a bizarre moment when Radio 1 controller Ben Cooper popped up to present him with a decanter to celebrate his election as a Fellow of the Radio Academy. Whatever that was. Afterwards, I spoke to some of the delegates.
My name's Lawrence Harrison. I'm Market Development Director at Digital Radio UK. And we've just come out of the Drive to Digital Now conference. And I think the emphasis of today's conference is on the now. This event is predominantly aimed at the automotive industry. Digital radio in cars is absolutely critical. It has broadened a bit, so we've got broadcasters and the rest of the industry there. But the underlying theme is the automotive sector. And I think we've always known that the conditions to enable getting digital radio into cars include coverage, content and communications. And what I think we've done today is give an update on progress. We've heard about coverage rollout, we've heard about great new content in D2, and we've heard about communications. And I hope that's meant that the automotive sector has gone away thinking, well, this is really something we've got to continue to support and keep growing the market.
We'll talk to Halfords and to Volkswagen in a minute. One of the things that interested me was this whole idea of being able to listen to a multiplex, to swap between the two, to go from one to the other, like we couldn't for a long while do actually on FM, and then it was invented. So what do you call it? Series linking?
Service following.
That's a good thing that we found out about today.
I think it's really important. And the other thing we talked about today was we've launched a digital radio tick mark. And what sits behind that tick mark in the product is a number of criteria that producers, manufacturers have to meet. And one of the things they have to do for in-car products is to be able to do service following. And this is the ability, as you've just said, as you move between multiplex areas, to link services that are the same brand. So Heart, for example, the Heart network, as you move between Heart areas, you seamlessly link between those so that it's a great experience for the consumer. But I think what that needs is not just the equipment to work in the right way, but it also needs the multiplexes and the broadcasters to be doing the right things as well. And actually, there was good announcements today from Arqiva and support from Global with regards to their network about the fact that they are starting to roll out service following. Initially, I think it's in the southeast of England, but that's going to go national over the course of this year. And that's, again, as you said, you know, that should be a great benefit.
There must have been times in the last few years when you and Ford Ennals and all your colleagues at Digital Radio UK have thought you were banging your head against a brick wall. I sense a real beginning of, oh, we've got past all that and now we're moving forward. Is that how you'd read today?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think, truth be told, you know, we said it in the conference today, when we look back to December 2013, when the minister, you know, didn't announce a switchover time. That was a big disappointment, especially for the industry we're talking to today, the vehicle manufacturers. They were hoping for that certainty. The reality is that since then, actually, it's been building momentum. I think once they got over the initial disappointment, very soon after that, the BBC announced they were building out their national network. We've continued to see additional digital-only content come on air. And I think also the launch of the tick mark, which is an important initiative for the supply chain, has all meant, actually, it's been building for a while. And I think the D2 bids, which we heard from today, really helped to kind of give that sense of a sense of purpose and momentum behind
it. I thought there was a feeling that if these creatively minded and commercially minded people all want another chunk of digital, that means it's something that they've all agreed is worth having.
I think that's right. You know, the fact that you had the people you had today from those large organisations effectively competing for this digital future that D2 provides, that's really compelling. You know, and having spoken to people outside the event, people are saying, wow, you know, there's some really good content on there. And actually, for this audience, you know, certainly for the supply chain audience, they're not as across it as we are. We're living and breathing that on a daily basis. This is kind of new news. So I think there's a lot of positive reaction after the event, and partly because of what we've been doing over the last 12 months, but also the D2 bids, as we said, that's undoubtedly helped.
Thank you, Lawrence.
My name's Dave Morgan. I work for Volkswagen Group in the UK. We started work with Digital Radio UK back in 2010 when we were made aware of the Digital Radio Action Plan. And at that point, we saw a great opportunity to allow our dealers to become involved in what looks like a very exciting campaign going forward. We very soon realised the strong commerciality of the opportunity. And now we're at the stage where we've adopted the digital radio tick mark for our aftermarket products that we offer, but also for our dealer groups within the Volkswagen brand of commercial vehicles and passenger cars.
So do you sense then that there is some real customer demand for this now?
I really think now that with the work that Digital Radio UK have been doing and the BBC and the advertising coming off of the back of the TV campaign, that digital radio is now starting to get some real traction within the automotive sector as well.
Thank you, Dave. Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Craig Matley, I'm the assistant buyer at Halfords. It's been a really good day.
What people are often talking about now is this thing I've learnt to call the car park with a C.
Indeed,
which
yes.
Means those 30 million cars that are on the road but haven't got digital radio. You're going to be at the forefront of trying to get digital radio into those cars.
Yeah.
How is that going to work?
So well, obviously we're looking at a big campaign within our stores around training and really energising our store colleagues on digital radio. And kind of, I think a lot of it is kind of demystifying why customers should have it. I think, and that was a big part of today. It's around the extra choice, the clarity of sound. It's really communicating those messages, and that's something we're going to really look to do in our point of sale, in terms of store engagement with colleagues. So it's kind of, I think a lot of it is it's the tangibleness of kind of having it in your car as well. I think the more and more, it's the word of mouth thing as well. I think we're getting to that point where everyone's used to it in home and it's going to become an acceptance that I want that in my car.
So there's a problem with user experience, isn't there?
Don't you think,
with some of these converters?
That's right.
You get in the car and it's just kind of complicated to find the station you want, and it requires you to sort of pass through lots of hoops before you get to the station you want. Is there going to be a new generation of converters that will make that easier?
Absolutely. Well, we're obviously working with our kind of, in terms of the suppliers, the pioneers, and obviously Sony's of this world, in terms of looking at creating particularly a DAB adapter, which is kind of ran through your stereo essentially. So it's something which is hidden away behind the scenes, which can kind of work, and kind of has, it's a transition. You can keep your FM, but you've got the DAB functionality. So it's all about, as you say, it's all about interface and use and simplicity. And it's something we're really looking at to trying to drive the cost down in terms of making it more kind of mass market. I think there's possibly a potential barrier to entry at the moment for DAB is that, you know, you're typically looking at around £100 for a good standard unit, and then you've obviously got the difficulties of it being of the fit, because a lot of it is obviously around, as we all know, is the film antenna, which is windscreen mounted, and for the novice kind of a regular customer, that isn't a self-guided fit. So that's where our store colleagues can kind of come in and help. But going back to the original point, it's much around integration behind the scenes, simplicity run through either your existing stereo or hopefully one of ours which we sell.
Well, good luck with it. Thanks for talking to us.
No problem at all.
Before we leave drive to digital, we shouldn't ignore the European dimension. There's been an international sense about this event today, and Patrick Hannon is here from World DMB. You've had some interesting things to say about how the world, if you like, is grasping DAB. We've struggled with it in the UK. Is it going to become a real international force?
I think the short answer is yes. And in particular in Europe. So what we're seeing is that, you know, the UK, Norway, Denmark, Switzerland, they all launched at least 10 years ago. And so they're all established markets at varying rates moving towards digital switchover. I mean, the UK obviously is qualified, but, you know, but that is absolutely the goal. And it's certainly the direction of travel. The big thing that changed really was in 2011 at an international level when Germany launched, August 2011, they launched DAB+. And in fact, it was quite a slow process. You know, when they launched it, you know, the sales of digital radios were not particularly exciting. But then suddenly, or I'm going to say suddenly, gradually, sales started to increase. The interest of the broadcasters started to build. And there was a recognition that this was the way that actually digital radio offered new benefits, new choice, a national platform for the first time in Germany. So what happened was that in November of last year, the ARD, the public broadcaster, which is 9 different affiliates. It's like dealing with 9 different BBCs, if you can imagine it. They collectively agreed that DAB Plus was the core future platform for them. And this has created a massive shift. Since that decision, the sales growth has increased. Normally, you would expect it to plateau. It's now increasing. It's up 63% in the last quarter. And the private broadcasters who previously had mixed feelings about digital radio, some were enthusiastic, some saw it as an opportunity, some treated it as a threat. But now they're all saying, not being involved is a threat because we will lose share. So they are now coming to terms with it. And so Germany is firmly on track for this digital future. Netherlands launched in 2013. And countries such as Italy, France, Poland have all started to launch services. Sweden has had a very detailed roadmap proposal, which is now in front of Parliament and will be a decision at the end of this year. So there's a real feeling of momentum that digital radio is absolutely here to stay and is being adopted in more and more countries.
Because in theory, wouldn't it be great if you could get in your car in Ballymena and drive to the Baltic and keep driving to the Balkans? And you've driven the whole way across Europe and you would never have to leave the digital radio domain. Is that the vision?
Well, it is the vision. And it's funny you say that. The EBU have always had, Annika at the EBU, I don't know if you know her.
Annika Newberg.
Yeah. She spoke about the vision, of, in her case, driving from Helsinki down to Rome, I think it was the plan. Now, as it happens, Finland do not have digital radio, but absolutely the vision is to move across. But then you say, well, that's a great vision, but why? Why bother? You know, and then, particularly in the driving scenario, and we've had the Drive to Digital conference today, you've got the greater choice, you've got the extra information that you get, you know, about artists playing song titles and so on. But actually one of the big things that is only beginning to get picked up is the traffic information services. There's a technology called TPEG, which basically gives you traffic information similar to what you get on TMC today, but with 20 times the level of detail. So when you're on your imaginary journey from Ballymena to the Baltics or Balkans, this will give you, in a free-to-air, critically free-to-air, reliable, robust distribution platform, will give you that traffic information, will give you the warnings about what's going on. And the Ministry of Transport in Germany has recognized this and are saying, actually, this is a core part of how we see the future of road safety in Germany. Hasn't really happened here in the UK, but it is happening in other countries, and that, I think, is going to be quite important in the next 5 to 10 years.
Just one scary thing, I suppose, while we're all trying to get our ducks in a row with digital radio, DAB, DAB+, along comes the connected car, and suddenly there's IP on the one hand and there's digital on the other, and this is all making the consumer environment even more complicated.
Yes, that's the risk. And you know, the risk is that if it becomes too complicated, then that's obviously a bad thing for everybody. So there, the onus is on the car manufacturers, the equipment manufacturers, to come up with user interfaces that work cleanly and simply. And, you know, sounds easy.
It doesn't. You know, it really doesn't sound easy at all.
But, even trying to get a digital radio to work cleanly and simply is not child's play. But when you throw in the internet on top of that, then the potential for complications is immense. But the different players recognize that. The car manufacturers, their number one concern is road safety, passenger comfort. They place a massive emphasis on making sure that the user experiences, you know, whatever the platform is. In a way, that's a secondary issue from their point of view. They want to make sure that the user is comfortable. But in the conference today, we had Spotify, we had the BBC, we had Mirrorlink, we had Pioneer, all on platform together, talking about how to, as far as possible, to standardise the approach so that people aren't all doing it completely differently.
I always think we've got to make it as easy as it is when you have a digital television. You know, nobody asks me when I want a particular channel, which satellite I want to go on to. No. I don't know whether it's Astra or whatever the hell it is. It's just Dave UK or BBC One or Channel 4. Radio doesn't need any more hurdles to ask its audience to leap over, does it?
No, I mean, you know, you know, one of the great things about radio is its simplicity. You know, you turn it on, it's there. If you want to change channels, you press a button. It's very simple. You know, there's no stress involved. And we need to maintain that in the digital age.
Patrick, thank you very much for talking to the Radio Today programme.
My pleasure.
Patrick Hannon from World DMB, ending that report from the Drive to Digital conference. And personal thanks from me to Ford Ennals and Jane Osler at DIUK, who let me gatecrash their reception for European visitors. Time now for some news. Here's Roy.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. Kelvin McKenzie is planning to launch a new sports radio station should the bid for D2 by Listen 2 Digital be successful. The news has received mixed reaction, with some industry analysers saying Kelvin's involvement just won't help the bid. We'll soon find out. Ed Vasey has updated the radio industry with the latest DAB developments at an event in London, as you've been hearing on this very show. And UTV's local radio stations in England and Wales are launching a new jingle package on Valentine's Day. And they have a new strapline of I Love This Station. And they sound like this.
I love this station.
That's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
We start this week last year, and London's biggest conversation, LBC, went national.
And of course, a welcome to those joining us from around the UK. As you've been hearing, it's a big and exciting moment as LBC becomes Britain's first national news talk radio station. Wherever you are, you can now listen to LBC on national DAB digital radio. We will indeed be leading Britain's conversation. And for those of you who are new, well, this is what we do every day.
Quick, come to me. There have just been three explosions which have ripped through the embassy.
The start of a national LBC this week last year. It's 15 years since we lost Robin Scott. Robin was running the Light programme at the time it split into Radio 1 and Radio 2 in 1967, so he was the first controller of Radio 1.
The BBC's radio continuity, even on the Light programme, was at times a little bit like on Radio 3. That is to say, pause, think again, decide what you're going to say, which is written down anyway, and then say it. And therefore, I was very concerned that it should be continuous, that it should not appear to be a fragmented series of programmes, all produced from behind double glass windows by people, with separate people playing the gramophone records and the tapes and so on, but that it should be seen to be controlled by the people who are actually playing the material and speaking.
Farewell, Robin Scott, this week in 2000. He introduced Radio 1 on air personally.
Stand by for switching. Get tuned to Radio 1 or 2, 5, 4, 3. Radio 2, Radio 1, go.
And also wrote this hit by Ruby Murray.
Softly, softly, come to me.
Amidst all the closures just now of the Bauer Magic Northern stations in favour of the City 2 network, it's interesting thinking back to the start of that magic rollout.
Billy Ocean, so coming on the way, we'll have a selection of the sort of songs you'll hear on the Big Easy Magic AM to take us through till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Listen out for the station you asked us for, the Big Easy Magic AM. I'm Al Dupre, and this has been Great Yorkshire Gold.
Your baby doesn't love you.
The end of Great Yorkshire Gold and City Gold this week in 97. Hull and Sheffield came later. This week, 4 years ago, Jodie Kidd was helping out Johnny Vaughan on the Capital London Breakfast Show. Beware, rude word follows.
The Capital Breakfast Show.
Johnny Vaughan and Jodie Kidd.
Good. Fuck off.
Massive apologies if you heard some bad language a couple of minutes ago. We had a technical problem In which some microphones were up and down, and it was a technical problem. You heard something on air you shouldn't have done. For that, we are profoundly sorry. Sorry if you're offended. We apologise there. Let's roll on with the show. 6:07. Good morning, London.
The Capital London Breakfast Show this week in 2010, and yet another lesson for us all on studio discipline. Talking of Capital, this week in 73 came the announcement of the first London radio franchise winners, one for entertainment and one for news. 13 groups had applied. John Whitney reflects on the entertainment winner.
That group was led by Richard Attenborough, and he won the application to put on the general entertainment station. But he had what I'm pleased to say, a wise view. And he said to the authority, I learnt later, the best way of forming a successful company would be to select from all the other applications those people who carried the most enthusiasm for the opportunity.
John Whitney reflecting on the announcement of the first London Licence Awards this week 42 years ago. He later headed up what was his rival Capital. This week in 67, it was becoming clear that the pirate radio stations which had beamed out the hits for 3 years from the North Sea were under threat. Some of them were based on wartime forts rather than ships, so when the government concluded that those forts were in British waters after all, closure was the only option.
For me, Tom Edwards, for the very last time on Radio City, it's a very good night to you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless, and thank you for being a marvellous audience. Good night, and goodbye.
The end of the pirate Radio City this week, 38 years ago. This week, 2 years ago, Radio 3 newsreader Patricia Hughes died. She was 90.
BBC Radio 3 on VHF and on 1215 kilohertz, 247 metres medium wave. Good morning, everyone. For today, Friday, the 4th of July, it's Patricia Hughes in London, and in a few moments, we'll hear the time signal for 7 o'clock. The news. Another sign of the frayed relations between Moscow and Washington has come with the apparent refusal...
The elegant tones of Patricia Hughes, one of Radio 3's most loved voices. She began at the BBC in 1944 on the Overseas Service. Later, she was on the light programme, The Home Service, and the third programme in Radio 3... In Northern Ireland in 1990, as Downtown Radio split its AM and FM frequencies, it was one of the few stations across the UK where the original name stayed on AM with something new on FM.
Good morning and welcome to Cool FM, the new music radio service from Downtown Radio. Broadcasting 19 hours a day on 97.4 FM. We hope you will enjoy our programmes, which will feature the music and lifestyle of the 90s. It's just gone 8:30. Stand by for Neil McLeod on The Breakfast Show.
The launch of Cool FM this week, 35 years ago. So, with radio arriving in Wales this week, 92 years ago...
This is 5WA calling, the Cardiff station of the British Broadcasting Company.
Saga East Midlands launching 12 years ago...
Your life, your music, and this is your captain speaking...
Les Ross, born this day in 1949.
Our very first day of transmissions here on Radio T's 257 metres.
And GCAP announcing that Planet Rock would close this week 7 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Cheers, David. This has been a TDC production for Radio Today, and I hope you can join us again next time. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.